I'm reading from Hebrews 13, 1 through 8. No matter what, make room in your heart to love every believer and show hospitality to strangers, for they may be angels from God showing up as your guest. Identify with those who are in prison as though you were there suffering with them, and those who are mistreated as if you could feel their pain. Honor the sanctity of marriage and keep your vows of purity to one another, for God will judge sexual immorality in any form, whether single or married. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life? So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. Don't forget the example of your spiritual leaders who have spoken God's messages to you. Take a close look at how their lives ended, and then follow their walk of faith. Jesus, the anointed one, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, so we no longer offer up steady stream of blood sacrifices, but through Jesus we will offer up to God a steady stream of praises and sacrifices. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. We will show mercy to the poor and not miss an opportunity to do acts of kindness for others. For these are the true sacrifices that delight God's heart.
Thank you, Terry. Again, the worship team, the songs, thank you. It seems like the song right ahead of the sermon just nails it. And I hope you are truly focusing on the words as we worship with God in these songs. The team, week after week, continues to produce and draw us in that close relationship. If you'd bow your heads. Loving God, we just are humbled by your love for us. The unity of you, Father, Son, and Spirit, is modeled, that's part of that spiritual guidance that Terry referred to in the reading. You love continually and you relate continually in perfect harmony. And we thank you for that. And God, I ask that you send your Spirit to orchestrate, to deliver, to say the words that you want. And certainly that you would allow each person to hear personally what you have for them, for each one of us. God, I thank you, and I just give this time, this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin today, I ask that you listen to every aspect of the message, not unlike you would any other week, but this is a message today that if you cherry-picked it, you would come across with a very negative and a very different perspective. So listen to all of it, and let's don't cherry-pick different pieces of it. Why me? I asked the leaders that Wednesday evening. When you got your bulletin today, did you look at that and go, what is going on? Was it even a question in your mind? Have you ever asked, why me? Once in life? Many times? I don't know. If you have, and again, this is a time that if you want to interact or share, that's very much an opportunity as we go through this. I know in my life I've heard, oh Lord, why me? Or why me again? When you thought of why me, was it a negative why me? Or did you think of positives why me? Or did you even think of why me? Yes, sir.
Why not?
Why not? Okay. And that, I got that Wednesday night immediately. Well, why not? Why not what? Why me? What? You know, as we think about that, okay, go ahead.
Earlier in my conversion, I might have had some negative thoughts about, you know, what's going on? Why is this going on? You know, and now it's more like, okay, it's time to grow again.
Okay, negative thoughts and kind of realize, okay, it's time to grow. Okay, maybe that's why me. Why this is happening again. Shirley.
Mine is kind of why me? Why is everybody so nice? Why do people help us? But why do I get all these blessings and then I see other people who aren't having the blessings that I feel like I've gotten wrong?
Why am I receiving these blessings when I maybe don't feel like I deserve them?
That's kind of it.
Okay. I see some heads nodding, so I think that kind of resonates with us. Why did Jesus reach into my life and not my spouse, family members, a neighbor, my children? Did you ever ask that question? Has that ever been a part of why? Why did I respond? Or why did that invitation come to me? Did that invitation come to my... And you fill in the blank. Did you ever ask that question? Why me? Why did God say, Kirk, I want to share this with you? And I have to tell you, I ran for a long time. Especially when it relates to this position. Mike Rasmussen had asked me quite some time, and I ran from that responsibility or opportunity. And it's like, why me? Because I have accepted, and you will see a lot of eyes, because I want you to read this as if this is personally you speaking. I can say because we have accepted, but it's because I have accepted Jesus. Have I become a privileged person? Are you privileged because of being a Christian and having Jesus Christ live in your life? Are you privileged? Privilege is defined as a special right, advantage, immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. Is this room filled with privileged people? There are a lot of people that would take that very negatively. And I think you could recognize how that could be. Privilege is attractive, but very seductive. We've been around people that have been influenced by that. How do you act when you have privilege? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever been in a situation where it was very obvious that you weren't the privileged person, but this one was, and they made sure you knew it? Is that the way we handle privilege? We're going to read through sections of Luke today. Luke 14, verse 1 is where we will begin. One day, Jesus was on his way to dine with a prominent Jewish religious leader for a Sabbath meal. Everyone was watching him to see if he would heal anyone on the Sabbath. There's two takeaways I want to talk about there. Two things that jump out. Jesus was in a house of someone who was considered privileged. He was a leader in that culture. It was very obvious. He was privileged because of that position. The second was Jesus was being carefully watched. They wanted a reason to judge and condemn him. Boil that down, people notice. People notice you. You are watched so that they maybe can condemn or judge you. Or maybe they ask, why is this person that way? Why do they have something I don't? They're privileged in a way that I don't understand. People do notice you every day of your life. whether you realize it or not, whether you want to even acknowledge that. Maybe in the workplace, maybe in the neighborhood, maybe at the grocery store. Do you exude a privileged position? And what does that look like? Picking it up in verse 7. When Jesus noticed how the guests of the meal were all vying for the seat of honor, he shared this story with the guests around the table. Vying for the seat of honor, looking for, you don't know who I am? Well, let me tell you, let me show you. Privilege, if not kept in its proper place, can lead to looking down on others. And if I could step down there, I would do so. Don't take this perception here. Looking down on others or leaving others out altogether leads to pride. And if you want to do a study on pride in the Bible, you will find it's not spoken of with very nice accolades. Pride is an evil and a sin. We are privileged because Jesus lives in us. So what do we do with that? How do we live our life? We're going to read a number of scriptures here, so just hang in there and read with me. When you are invited to an important social function, don't be quick to sit near the head of the table. Or if there's a reserve sign on it, try and sit at the table adjacent to it so you can be as close. That's by implication what they're saying here. Don't be too quick to sit to the head of the table. Choosing the seat of honor, what will happen when someone more distinguished than you arrives? The host will then bring him over to where you are sitting and ask for your seat, saying in front of everyone, "You're in the wrong place. Please give this person your seat." Disgraced. And that would be a very humbling experience there. You will have to take whatever seat is left. Instead, when you're invited to a banquet, you should choose to sit in the lowest place so that when your host comes and sees you there, he may say, "Friend, come with me. Let me seat you in a better place." You didn't pick it. They picked it for you. Then in front of all the other guests at the banquet, you will be honored and seated in the place of the highest respect. Remember this. Everyone with a lofty opinion of who they are, who seeks to raise themselves up, will be humbled before all. And everyone with a modest opinion of who they are and chooses to humble themselves will be raised up before all. Let somebody else elevate you. Don't be that person that says, "Look at me." Far better to be in there and let somebody else say, "Oh, Kirk, you're here? I didn't know you were going to be here. Hey, come on up. I want you to sit over here." Rather than to show up and go, "Well, I'm kind of glad to see you, Kirk, but that's not your seat." And how humbling that would be to be moved. Let somebody else elevate you. You're privileged. You don't have to wear a badge that says, "I'm privileged." You can set an example of what that is because of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus turned to his host and said, "When you throw a banquet, don't just invite your friends. When we have events, invite your friends, but invite other people. Look for other people. Relatives or rich neighbors, don't just invite those. For it is likely that they'll return the favor." So you're kind of going tit for tat on that. Said, "It was my week this week. Next week, you'll take care of it." And it kind of works that way. It is better to invite those who never get an invitation. And there are a lot of people that never get an invitation. Can you imagine that maybe if your invitation to a South Lawn event, to a simulcast, to some event here, may be a precursor or may be the beginnings of Jesus' invitation to that person to share in that relationship with him? Have you ever thought about that single event of inviting somebody who never gets an invitation? Invite the poor to your banquet along with the outcast, the handicapped, and the blind, those that live on a margin, those who could never repay your favor. How awesome is that when you get to do something for somebody and you know they could never turn it back to you. You know that is beyond their ability, but you do it anyway, not to embarrass them, but because you want to include them. Because you're privileged. Do you want them to have that same privilege? When you see that person that is struggling, do you want them to be able to say, Jesus lives in me, and I can get through this? That's what we're looking at. We're looking for opportunities to share the privilege that we've been given. Not to flaunt it, not to show it off, but to share it. For those who could never repay you the favor, then you will experience a great blessing in this life. And at the resurrection of the godly, you will receive a full reward. And I've mentioned before, there are people that have been members of this congregation that have since passed, that when they, in front of God, they got a reward that was huge because they did so many things that really no one knew about. They didn't do it for show. They did it because they loved people and they wanted to share that relationship that Jesus has for them. And it may be not that they were preaching to them, that they were sharing Jesus, but they were sharing what Jesus does in their life, which equates to the same thing. At some point, somebody said, how can you keep doing these things? Nobody else knows that you've been taking care of me, that you've done this. Why do you do that? And you can say, because I love you. Because God loves you, and he has given me the opportunity to share that love with you. Am I privileged? Yes. Is it a privilege that says I get the best seat? No. Is it one that says that I need to inflate myself? No. But it's an opportunity to share who Jesus is in our life. That's the privilege that we have, of being able to share what that looks like. Be a blessing to others. And you say, I don't know how. Ask God. And you know, he may show you where you've been a blessing to others that you go, that was just being me. I just do that because that's who I am. No, you do that because God created you to be who you are. You ever thought of that? You are exactly who God created you to be. You have backgrounds that he's fully aware of. He's fully aware of your life. He knows what challenges you've gone through. He knows how you can pour into other people, if you will. If you're willing to share what Jesus has done in your life, you're sharing that privilege. You're extending the love of Jesus Christ to other people. As Christians, we are privileged to have a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Perfect harmony. One doesn't do something the other one doesn't already know and is in complete cohesive connection with. And this is the God that loves us. This is the God that lives in us. This is the God that works with you every day of your life. This is the God that gives you the words to say when someone poses a question and you go, I have no idea how to answer that. But you do. And amazingly enough, it's the right thing to say at the right time. And you go, thank you, God. Because you don't question how it happened. You know that God intervened and shared. Your invitation to someone may be the first invitation they've ever received. And it's an invitation to the greatest thing in the world, that relationship. How do we respond to that privilege? That privilege of being a part of the family of God. How do we respond to that? Is that a Sunday only? Christmas and Easter only? Or is that every day of your life? Have you ever got up first thing in the morning and you're praying and you go, God, what are we going to do today? You ever had that conversation? Or, God, you have the day planned. Help me through it. Give me the words to say. Give me the love for that person or people that you're going to bring in my life today. Have you ever thought of beginning the day that way? And you go, well, I'm just scheduled to be at home today. I'm not supposed to, I'm not going to the store shopping. I'm probably not going to see anybody except maybe my spouse or whoever might stop by or maybe on the phone. That's okay. Still ask God what your day is, and will he be a part of it? I know there's one in here that spends in the morning, and God must love coffee because they drink coffee with this person every day on their deck. I personally think it's a sacrifice God makes, but that's just me. Not a coffee drinker. But think about that beginning of what it is to share with God. Say, you know, I don't know what you have in plan for me today, but I know you love me and I know that you have the day planned, and let's go with it. Give me the wisdom, the strength, because you love me. You absolutely love me. I'm not looking for accolades, God. I'm not looking for that chief seat at the banquet. I'm not looking for people to throw a party or to have my name in print as some accolade. That's not what I'm here for, God. I'm here to serve you. I don't know what that looks like. There's days I look back and go, I could have done better. Or, God, that really worked out, and I don't know how, but thank you. It's you. And it's all you. And when you get a phone call or you run into somebody that maybe 1 month, 6 months, a year, or 5 years later, and they share with you something that you did that changed their life, it's humbling. I had that happen Friday morning at the men's group that I attend. One of the guys was referring to something 5 years ago, 6 years ago. He looked at me and goes, you don't remember, do you? And I said, no, I don't. But it made a difference in his life. And I had to say, thank you, God, because that's where it was. It wasn't me. It's still not me. He looks back and is grateful for what that experience was. And I look back and say, God, I don't have a clue, but thank you. I am so glad that you used me in that moment. I don't know what it was that prompted it, but it's impacted this individual. 5 years later, he still brought it up. Because I posed this topic Friday morning to them. I said, why me? And it was encouraging that probably 80% of the why me's were positive why me's. Why am I a Christian? Why did God choose me? And only one man started with a negative, why me? And then the light bulb came on, and boy, it was gone. It was, thank you, God, for why me? I don't know. None of us can say it was fated. I knew that, you know, at this age, I was going to be, God, you were going to knock, and I was going to answer, and life was going to be good. None of us can say that. If we do, we're getting to the pride picture pretty fast. But if we can say, thank you, God, for what you've done, what you are doing, that's the awesome part of the whole picture. How do we respond? That's a personal question. Change that to, how do I respond to that privilege? Any privilege that we have should be used to serve and bless others. If you have a position of leadership or a position of a crew chief or a position where you have other people that you can work with, serve them. Do what you can to serve and help their day be better. Bless them. Put them before yourself. And it's amazing the response that you will get. Usually it's disbelief at first, especially if you've never done that. But if you are consistent in serving other people, if you are consistent at the grocery store, that you see the person behind you has three items, and you say, won't you go ahead? I had a lady do that to me. She had four items and I had two. I said, no, you're okay. But her heart was there. She saw I had more than she did, would take longer. I thought, what an awesome way. This person was willing to step aside. I've been in a fast food line, and I get up to pay my bill, and it's paid by the car in front of me. I will never see that car again, in all likelihood. I will never see that person. Who is the recipient in that picture? Who received and is aware of the situation? The person that bought, in all likelihood, they didn't know me. They may not have bought anyway. But they paid. Okay, they know. And I was receiving it, and I know. Who else? God knew the whole thing, but who else? The clerk. The clerk witnessed the whole event. You think that made an impression on that clerk? When they see total stranger paying for total stranger, and everybody wins. That's a way that we can serve and bless others. Letting that person in line. Waitress waits at your table, and their service may not be pristine. Matter of fact, it may just be pretty lousy. How do you handle that? Do you feed their negativity? Do you grumble about their service? And it's, you know, I'm not talking about the obvious one that this flat, they didn't want to be there, and, you know, you're a recipient of that. But maybe you can see or perceive or ask God to give you the perception of what their day has been. We don't know. But if you are kind to them and you're blessing to them, and your gratuity at the end reflects the fact that you've got pristine service. Because when they see that amount, they go, I know I didn't do that. But yet this person took care of me. This person was polite. This person was kind. This person gave me a gift. Are they going to look at you and say, well, that was a person of privilege that did that, and man, I'm honored. No, they're going to say, I can do better. Yeah, my day sucks. I'm sorry, it just did. I got horrible news this morning. My kid happened at school. I mean, you don't know what their day has been. But you maybe changed their outlook. You may have changed how their day finished because you served and blessed them simply by doing kind acts. Jesus tells us to love others as he loves us. Do you feel loved by God? Do you, in your mind, when you stop and you go to a quiet spot, can you look back and say, God, man, you love me. I can see you helped here, 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 here. And I tell you, you're missing a whole bunch of here, here, here's, but he's still there. Because we miss most of his love for us. But the love that you can't acknowledge, that's awesome. That's privilege. Do you want other people to experience that same love experience? Do you want others to be able to sit and go, boy, God loves me. And I don't have to ask why me, because he loves me and he chose me. And they go, why not? It's awesome. And you maybe were the first step in that process. Our primary focus should be on helping others understand the privilege offering to them through Jesus. And some people have been beat up by the church, by relatives, by friends, by neighbors, and beat over the head with the name of Jesus to the point that they don't want to hear anything. They have the most negative feeling about Christianity, about Jesus. Anything involved with the church is taboo. How do you reach that person? How do you share that privilege offered from Jesus? You are kind to them. You do things for them, knowing they're never going to respond to you, or in likelihood will not. You reach out and touch somebody's life in a positive way. You do it enough times, somebody's going to go, why do you do that? Why do you continually take care of me? Why are you always doing nice things for me? That conversation can and will happen if you continue and are consistent in your loving and serving for other people. You're not there to say, I'm privileged. Jesus lives in me, and I really want you to have that. And they're going to go, no way. I know what that's like. I was beat up with it as a kid, and you fill in the blank. But if you reach and bless them on a daily or weekly or whenever you can, blessing, they will notice. They will share it. I don't get this. Joy is always doing this thing for me. And Val, I can't believe all the things that she does for me. They're sharing that with somebody else that you don't even know. You are allowing that blessing to play it forward. And God only knows where that goes. Will you get the accolades? Probably not. When you stand before Jesus in all of eternity, come, my friend, you have done so much and I am so grateful. And those blessings are beyond anything we can imagine. I am privileged to know my Father, God, when many do not. Many don't even know the name of Jesus. Have a family member that thinks he's made up. Believes there's a God, but Jesus is made up. It's a crutch. Am I mean to this person? No. Do I try and be a blessing to this person? Yes, I do. Am I going to make a difference in his life? God will. If I get to be a part of it, that's awesome. If not, God is still there. I am privileged to call Jesus my elder brother and my friend when many can't because they don't know him. You may or may not relate. I've been to events and set off to the side. I didn't want to be a part of the focus of things. It was not my point, not there. But to have a long-lost friend, someone from years ago, come by and say, "Kurt, I am so glad you're here. Come, let's sit together and, you know, eat together so we can visit. Let's catch up." Jesus is doing that for each one of us. He's our friend. Can you imagine to be called the friend of Jesus? Talk about name dropping. But that's not what we do. We live in his love. I am privileged to have hope and peace and security. Some days it doesn't feel that way. Some days it feels the exact opposite of that. When many have none, I can get in that same line some days. And then I stop and say, I do have hope. My peace is a little rough right now. The security is a little tough. But if I didn't have Jesus, where would I be? I would have none. That's the part of allowing Jesus to live in you, to bless other people, to experience his love, to have that hope and peace and security. Even as we look at tomorrow and know tomorrow's lined up to be pretty negative. If you're on the East Coast or if you're in the Bahamas right now, probably don't have a lot of peace. Certainly don't have a lot of security because nature is taking over. Hopefully there's some hope that this will pass and we can return to our lives. I pray that God will bring that person of privilege beside them to share in preaching to them. No. I mean, that would be great, but to give them a needed hand, to bless them, to serve them. And there will be. There will be people that do exactly that. How do I respond to this privilege? And that's a personal question to you today. How do I respond? And I hope you take this home and you think about how you do respond. But since I put this PowerPoint together, I think it was sometime late last night, early this morning, another thought came up, and I'm going to leave it with this one. How do I is today? The next question is, how can I do this to respond to this privilege? How can I, going forward, how will I respond to the privilege of Jesus Christ living in me as it affects other people, as it affects me? So the takeaway from today, where are you right now? Where will you be going forward? It may be the same thing. If it's positive, that's a great thing. But think about the privilege that you have been given to be a friend of God and what you do with it. If you'd bow your heads. Most loving, kind, and precious God, we're humbled by your love for us, for the lives you give us, the opportunities to share you, to experience the peace, the hope, the security that you provide. And God, I ask that you would help each one of us to analyze where we are and where you are taking us. And God, that we can say, sign me up. I am ready. I want, God, to share you. in whatever manner that is. I thank you for today. I pray for your love and protection for each one of us, but certainly for those with the impending storms. Because God, you have everything in your hand. And we're so grateful for that. And I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.